I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Marcela Diaz. She is executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So tonight at 6 o'clock at the Santa Fe Convention Center is a town hall on immigration. What's going on?
Well, the United Workers Center of New Mexico, which is a project of Somos Un Pueblo Unido.
Sorry, the blender. And you said.
So the mayor of Santa Fe, the city immigration committee, United Workers Center of New Mexico, which is a project of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, along with other community groups like the Central Labor Council and the Interfaith Leadership Alliance here in Santa Fe, are hosting a town hall to give local elected officials the opportunity to meet, as well as representatives from our congressional delegation in Washington, directly with immigrant families, businesses, community groups that are directly impacted by a potential immigration reform.
So potential immigration reform is actually on the table.
That's
and
right.
looks imminent. I mean, who are the Gang of Eight?
The Gang of Eight is a group of folks from both parties, the senators, who just yesterday introduced a reform package that will be heard for the first time. We're starting to see more than 1,500 pages long. We're starting to see what it contains, but there's going to be a hearing this Friday in the Senate Judiciary Committee and on Monday as well to kind of go over through it. It's a starting point. The good thing is that it would provide a path to citizenship over the course of many years to immigrant families who have grown deep roots in the state of New Mexico as well as other parts of the country. And so that's something that our community, that our movement has been fighting for many years now. More than 1,100 families are torn apart every day by this broken immigration system. They're by deportation, by detention, and we need to, as a nation, move forward and start putting together sensible policies, workable policies that continue to integrate immigrant families into our local economy, to our economic recovery efforts, and into the fabric of our society. We're a part of this country, and it's time to move forward.
The last time that you were on the air, we had a long conversation about immigration and what's going on and what it looks like, and I got a letter from a listener saying, I learned so much from your program. I had no idea. I sort of always thought of immigration as people who just got here yesterday. I had no idea about mixed status families and things like that. But the reality is that there are families where one person has a green card, one person has citizenship, one person has no papers at all.
That's right.
And that's the norm.
Well, we always say there's no black and white when it comes to immigration status. Most of us live in mixed immigrant families where some of us have papers, some of us don't. What most people don't understand is that it can take up between 2 and 21 years, depending on your country of origin and the person through whom you're applying. And that's for the people who have a line to get into. It is no surprise to the United States electorate, it's no surprise to the voters who voted for common sense reform in the last election, that our immigration system is broken and that it needs serious overhaul, and that we are spending billions of dollars securing a border, detaining people, deporting people, separating families, harming local communities. And what we've seen within the last couple of years is continued support for fixing the system in a way that would provide a path to citizenship for the 11 million or so undocumented immigrant families or those who are in a mixed status families. Here in New Mexico, 1 in 10 New Mexicans is foreign born, is an immigrant. And here in Santa Fe County, it's above 13%. And so it is very clear that immigrants are an integral part of our workforce, are an integral part of our social fabric, as well as our local economy. And so now we need to have laws at the national level that correspond to that reality.
So this bill has just been introduced. Nobody's really seen it yet. It's this long bill, and so it's going to take some time to actually analyze what's in it and understand what's in it. But so far, from what we do know, what are some of the, in your view, the good points and the not so good points.
Well, the good points certainly are, you know, is a path to citizenship for undocumented families who live, work in our communities and who are contributing to our communities. And so this is something that not all people from all political parties have supported up until now. So the fact that this is what is in legislation that is supported by senators from both parties is really a breakthrough. So that's a good thing. It's a provisional status that takes 10 years before a person can actually apply for legal permanent residency. And in those 10 years, they have to be continuously employed, which can be a problem, particularly when you have such a high unemployment rate and issues with our economy. And so there are things that certainly need to be tweaked. And we want folks to know this really is a starting point. It has there will be a process through which folks can amend it in the Senate Judiciary Committee, as well as on the floor of the Senate, if it gets the floor of the Senate. And then it has to go to the House, where it'll also go through its markup and amendment process. And so this really is a starting point. There's a program for future flow, which, of course, is very important, so that we're not 20 years from now back where we started.
Yeah, exactly.
With millions of undocumented immigrants who have come here to work and to join family members. And so there are there's a new W visa program that would, for the first time, allow future workers who've checked in, who are sort of regularized through this process, who can come and they don't have to stick with the same employer. And that was something really important. And we, in our relationship and affiliation with the AFL-CIO, as well as the Rights Working Group, have really supported measures that would, in immigration reform, protect whistleblowers if they are, for instance, the victims of egregious workplace violations or wage theft. It's something that our Worker Center organizes a lot around. But also we want to make sure, so we want to make sure that they're protected. But we also want to make sure that, you know, that we're not seeing rampant racial profiling based on national origin, which is a part of our enforcement measures right now. And from what I understand, there is clear language that would ban racial profiling by federal law enforcement. So these are things that our communities have been working for a number of months now. And we'll see how it all ends up with this process.
As far as we know so far, I mean, we have the kinds of situations in New Mexico and all over the country where somebody is stopped for a broken taillight mm-hmm. on their car. They don't have papers. They've been working in the United States for 20 years. They've got a family, kids, the whole thing, and they get deported to Mexico.
That's right.
How would this new legislation affect that?
Well, we would see a prohibition by federal law enforcement, not necessarily local law enforcement, based on national origin. And of course, we here at the local level have strong protections against racial profiling or bias-based policing based on national origin at the state level. But what we would hope to see is the vast majority of these folks who don't have social security numbers right now, who have not been able to get into this very onerous, outdated line that we're talking about to adjust their immigration status, be able to get into that line and no longer be deportable. And that's really what this 10-year, although it seems very long, a little too long, this 10-year provisional status would do. It would put them, it would give them immediate relief from deportation. But they would have to continue working. And so, again, this is just the framework, and I'm sure there are parts of this that are going to change. And it's not a done deal. I mean, it still has to get through two chambers. And so we invite folks to come to this immigration town hall to learn more about what this immigration reform package contains, what some of the benefits are, what some of the problems are with it, and how they can get involved and help create and continue to create a groundswell of support here at home.
Now, there are many billions of dollars being spent on border enforcement, and it's not clear that that money is being well spent. Would there be more border enforcement, do you think?
Yes. In fact, the way that the language is written currently, there would be some border enforcement triggers before individuals could adjust their status from a temporary provisional status to legal permanent residency. And that can be a little concerning.
Triggers?
In other words, they wouldn't be able to apply for legal permanent residency until there's a what they are saying a 90% effectiveness rate in high-risk sectors of the border of keeping people out. And so you know, when we're talking about fairness for families, when we're talking about people who have deep roots here, who have U.S. citizen children here, who have jobs here, who have homes, we can't rely, it's just not fair to rely on something that's sort of external to us our lives.
Right.
As crucial and as important as border enforcement and border security is, what does that really have to do with our families needing to stay together and be able to adjust their status? And so there are these external triggers that can be problematic, although some of that might change through the process. There's also a call for revamping of our employment system and forcing all employers, which doesn't just affect immigrants, it affects U.S. citizens as well, who were born here, to verify our immigration status and our work authorization status before we can get employed. And we've seen those kinds of database systems be very faulty in the past, and so we need to make sure that there are safeguards against
faulty, not just a little faulty, like half the data is wrong kind of faulty.
That's right. I mean, even with it's been estimated that the social, although this is a different database, the Social Security Administration, that no match letters are triggered, and 70% of those no match letters between a person's name, there's a discrepancy between a person's name and their Social Security number, 70% of those no match triggers are for U.S. citizens because there's, you know, because the name is spelled differently.
Right.
So there's, you know, these are all things that we have to watch for. But in the end, I mean, I don't want to sound too negative about this process. This is going to be a long, drawn out process, and we all have to be as involved as we possibly can and as informed as we possibly can, which is why we do invite folks to this immigration town hall tonight at 6 p.m. at the convention center in the Kearney Room, where we can learn a little bit more from the quote-unquote experts about what's happening in this bill and how it could affect northern New Mexico and Santa Fe County. But what I think is the takeaway here is that this one is a breakthrough, particularly when it comes to the path to citizenship, when not all of the Republicans were on board. And still, there aren't many Republicans and probably some Democrats in Congress who weren't on board with that. But that this particular bipartisan group, Gang of Eight, did push forward with a path to citizenship for the undocumented immigrants and that are currently in this country. And so that's one very exciting and I think a real testament to the hard work that our communities, that faith communities, that the labor unions, that the business coalitions, certainly the immigrants' rights movement and civil rights organizations and Latino-based organizations have done, especially within the last few elections, to make sure that our voices are heard.
Marcela Diaz is executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, which is on the web at somosunpueblounido.org, and that site, you can read it in English or Spanish. And for more information on the event tonight, you can contact the city at 955-6039 or the United Workers Center at 424-7832. And once again, tonight at 6 o'clock at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center, Kearney Room. Marcela, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And we look forward to further conversation as this develops.